Quick, announcements, I was supposed to do them at the beginning and I forgot, because Cora Lee can come up here and introduce our speaker.
Hello, everyone, I'm an ad named Cora Lee. I first like to thank you guys for having us. You know, it's been a pleasure to be here already, and it's not just because I got on a plane to Massachusetts in 32 degree weather and got here to 76, because that's pretty great. But, the hospitality has been second to none, and the love, we can feel it. So we thank you for that. I'm a little bit nervous. I don't know what I'm supposed to say, so I'm just going to wing it here. Sponsorship for me was a struggle since I got here this time 7 years ago. It was something I really had a hard time with. I had a hard time with finding somebody that fit for me. And so I had came to my wit's end, and there was this woman that I wanted to ask to sponsor me, but she was, you know, I was intimidated by her. She was great, man. She was all the things that I wanted to be. She was assertive, and she said, you know, she believed in this program, and she said the things that I thought, only she said them in an elegant way. And I really wanted to be like her when I grew up, right? And but I was really afraid to ask her because I really wasn't ready for the commitment that it would come with. So she came to my home group and shared on the topic of Leap of Faith, and she shared how she was a woman that not many people had challenged, and she found out that she needed that. And for me, there are no coincidences, and I knew that for the first time in my life, I needed to sign myself up for somebody that would challenge me. And so I made the decision to ask her to sponsor me almost 2 years ago, and it's been a great decision since. She is not only my sponsor, but she's a passionate member of Narcotics Anonymous. She believes in this program wholeheartedly, and she does plenty of service to make sure that things continue to be the best they can be for the newcomer that is yet to walk through the door. She's an amazing woman, and she has an amazing message. Please give her the respect that you would want if it were you up here speaking. And with that, I'll introduce you to the winner.
Hi, everybody. I'm Delana, and I'm an addict. I have to set myself a timer, because no matter how much time you give me, I will go on and on. So don't mind me on my phone. Okay. Hi, everybody. I'm Delana, and I'm an addict. I am so excited to be here. Where's Beth? Beth, me too. So nervous. Thank you for reading. That was amazing. So nervous to be up here. This is not really my thing. I say it all the time. I'm kind of a behind-the-scenes type of gal. I'm not really like a speaker-type person. So it's always really nerve-wracking to be up here. And I always say I hate sharing because it's like, you know what I mean? I hate sharing. And I have a sponsee that tells me that I need to knock that shit off because it's a gift to be considered somebody that has a message to carry to somebody else. And that I should be grateful for the opportunity that somebody sees something in me that they think I'm worthy of such a message like this, that this program works, and that they think that I can carry that to somebody else. So I won't say that I hate speaking. I love it. Make sure you tell her that I did that, okay? I have to say this, right, because I have a friend that told me to, and he told me to trust him. And I'm really afraid of what's going to happen, but I'm going to say it anyway. So if I'm not supposed to say this, don't hate me. And if I am, then thank you. So roll tide. Hey! All right. He didn't lie. He said you'd like me if I said that. So
not true. You're on the right team.
Yeah, that. Yep, all the things.
No.
Woo! Okay. Wow, Alabama's fun. I share the same sentiment. We left Boston this morning, and it was like 20 degrees. There was a snowstorm. School was canceled. We landed. It was 70-some degrees. We were all excited to be here. So you guys have done a great job so far. Great job. Of course, I want to say thank you so much to the committee for asking me and, again, believing in me and wanting to help me in my recovery. And all the people that I've been hugging and meeting and registration and merchandise, it's been really cool. Like, you know, meeting new people, talking to people in the elevator and at the tables and all that. So thank you guys for having us and for treating us warmly. So with that, I'm going to... You know, I'm super duper nervous, and I have to remind myself that all I have is my message, and that message about me, my real value isn't just being myself, and that all I can carry is my truth and my message, and that is good enough. So that's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to be me. I say this every time I share, really, because it just puts me in the right place. So I'm going to start by saying that I washed up in Narcotics Anonymous because I had just fought and lost an exhausting battle with drugs. I am not confused about why I am here. I don't have a me problem. I don't have a head problem. I don't have a thinking problem. I have a drug problem. When I use drugs, I ruin my life. I ruin your life. I ruin everybody's life. I want to die. I can't live. And there is nothing out there for me. We come into Narcotics Anonymous, and then I learned that it's, you know, that there's more than this, than the drugs. But I hope that I'm never the person that says, oh, it's not about the drugs today. You know, I hope that I'm not that person, because I have to remember what brought me to Narcotics Anonymous, and that's the drugs. I learned here that that's a symptom, and that there are other parts of this disease, and that I have to fix my thinking and all of that. But if I start to forget that the drugs are a problem, or I start to think that I can use drugs, I don't need to tell you what happens. You all know. So I'm here because I have a drug problem, and you know, that wasn't always, like, it wasn't, I didn't walk into here, like, realizing that. You know, I started using a little bit later in life. I started using just after I turned 18. I grew up really, really well. I grew up with a lot of money and a big house and two parents, and life was good, and I had everything I ever wanted, and the million-dollar home and the BMW in the driveway, and I had everything I ever wanted in life. Well, everything I ever needed and most of what I wanted, unless my mom was trying to teach me some lesson, because she liked to try to do that shit sometimes. So, you know, I had everything going for me, and I say that because, again, I don't need to tell anybody here, it doesn't matter where we come from. It doesn't matter what our backgrounds are. It doesn't matter, right? People always say, park street or park bench. It doesn't matter where we were. We all found ourselves sitting in the same seats, in the same room, reading the same book, and trying to live principles by the same method. So, you know, if you're here and you think that maybe you don't qualify because you didn't, you know, I got clean after my 18th birthday. I used for a total of 18 months, like total, all my relapses. And I know that I belong here because it's not about, right, it's not about the using, it's not about the stopping, it's about the using. I know what happens when I use drugs. I can't control, the first one is too many. It is too much. A thousand never know. Okay. No, no. You guys are supposed to laugh because I do like hair flips. Hey, there we go, there we go. Thank you. Don't worry, I have better ones coming. See, I told you I'd make you laugh. I told my sponsee, was like, you don't think you're funny, do you? And I'm like, I am so funny. She's like, but are you? I'm like, yeah, when I go to commitments and detox, they always crack up. She's like, they're sedated. I'm like, I wake them up. Like, I am, you know, blah, blah, blah. She doesn't think I'm very funny. I told her, she's like, I'm not going to laugh. I told you would. But anyway, so I started using just after my 18th birthday. And again, I say that because it doesn't matter how much. We all paid for our seats with our pain. And I walked, you know, I walked into my first Narcotics Anonymous meeting, and they told me that I had to do these things. They said I had to change the person that I was when I came in here, and I told them that the only thing that they needed to change was your perspective of me, because I was perfect, and if you didn't know that, then you needed to figure that out with your sponsor. They told me to get a sponsor. I found the hottest guy in the room. They told me to get a network. Good thing he had a lot of friends. They told me to go to meetings. I missed the part where I was supposed to go inside of the meetings. Ripping butts in the park, you know. They told me to get a God. I was it, you know, check. You know what I mean? They told me to do all of these things and that I would be able to stay clean. And when I used, I couldn't figure out why I was using. I was like, but I got the sponsor. We've been doing some step work, you know. I got the network. Period, not of women, but I still got that network you talked about. I was going to meetings. I was, you know, hanging out with the guys in the parking lot. And they, you know, they said, if you keep doing what you do, you're going to keep getting what you get. And so I'd get clean. I would use. I get clean. I would use. You know, and every time I would use it, you know, obviously it didn't ever get any better. So I came in here, like I said, they would tell me, you know, I have to do all these things. I told them I didn't want to, so instead I went and, you know, lived a really good life using and did really great things. You know, I was 19. I'd gotten arrested. I'd gotten arrested for the umpteenth time doing the umpteenth thing. I don't know if anybody can relate to this, but I would, you know, getting arrested and being in jail and swearing I'll never do it again. You know what I mean? Yeah. Never do it again. and having the pipe in my mouth before I had the laces in my shoes, wondering how the did I get here again, you know? And so this time I had a plan. I was gonna run, 19 years old. I was gonna run from the law for the rest of my life. I found a way out, and it was through a traveling carnival. I became a carny with the guy that I met in detox, and we were gonna recover together. That lasted about 3 weeks. He was setting up the Ferris wheel. I was making the cotton candy. I thought it was a match made in heaven. I thought we were gonna, stay clean forever off of his EB free, and things were gonna be good. But that didn't happen for us. So again, apparently, they found me. The jail, the probation found me, and I remember going into probation and saying, "Okay, like I can't do this anymore." And so I'm a dancer. I've always been. Oh, I have a friend that reminds me I should stop and clarify that. I'm a ballerina. So I was a ballerina my whole life. I was a professional ballerina by the time I was 14. I was dancing all over the Northeast with different companies, and things were really good for me. Kept my weight down. I don't know if anybody can identify with being in a profession where you had to keep your weight down. But, we have some drugs that do that. And so I thought that was my only way, and then every time I'd stop using, I couldn't pass a weigh-in, so I would use more, right? But anyway, not to digress on that. So I was a dancer by trade. I was a ballerina. I was a ballerina, and I walked into the courthouse one time, and ironically, the judge, when I walked in, now I'm 21 years old, the judge, when I walked in, said, "Wait, I remember you from when you were younger," and I was like, "No, no, I don't think you do, no." And she was like, "You used to be that dancer." And I was like, "Yeah, maybe, blah, blah. And she just looked at me, and I can still remember her to this day. And she just said, "What happened to you? You used to have, when I got arrested, my police report said color gray, weight ultra thin." You know what I mean? Like, I'm looking at this in this courthouse, and she's like, I was a shell of a human being. I had gotten to the point where I no longer wanted to live. And I don't know if anybody else has experienced that, but in my active addiction, I just did not, I couldn't do it anymore. It had gotten to the point for me that I had taken a bottle of pills, and I went down to, the local brook by where I was using, and I grabbed a pillow and a blanket from my house, and I walked down to the local brook for my final resting place. But I lived in this really nice city. It's called Brockton, Massachusetts. And I don't know if anybody here knows what that is, but let me just tell you, it was not a brook, it was a sewer. There were no babbling brooks, and I don't know what that equivalent is in Alabama, but it was it was not a great place. But to me, it was like that place.
Creek.
Yep. I went down to the creek. Huh? Ironically, get that? Creek and the river and the brook. Look at that. So I went down to this, and this was going to be my final resting place, right? Because in case you haven't figured it out, I'm still a little dramatic. So I still, this was it for me. This was going to be my last hurrah, and somebody found me and brought me to the hospital. And again, I'm sure I'm not the only person in the room that woke up angry because it didn't work. And what was I going to do now? And at the end of our road, right? So I ended up, again, back to where I was. So she just said to me, "What happened to you? You used to be happy. You used to be, young and bright, da, 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 da." And I couldn't even answer her. And she said, "Do you want help?" And I said, "Yeah, but, I don't know what you're talking about. I'll do it. I got this. No worries." You know what I mean? And, the person with the robe and the thing that makes noise told me I had to go to treatment for 6 months, and I found out what a higher power was, So she hit her thing down and said, "You're going to treatment." And that was September 6th of 2002. I was 21 years old when I walked in that courtroom. I haven't found it necessary to use. I'm only 25, if you're trying to do the math. 2001, 2000. Yeah, just carry the one, So. I walked in, and my clean date is September 6th of 2002, and that's the day. And I'd love to tell you that I walked out of that courthouse ready to change, No, still took me a minute. But I went into treatment to get clean, in the treatment center told me they had a like a thing on the wall with dates for the calendar of when I was going to use, like how long I was going to last in the treatment center because I was too young. They had heard actually that there were young people that were staying clean in Florida, but not in Massachusetts. Only people that were 21 could get clean in Florida. They told me that I couldn't. They told me that I was too loud and that I wasn't going to be able to stay clean, that I had to tone it down a little bit to stay clean. They told me I was too young, I was too loud, I was too attention-seeking, and they had a pool on the wall of when I was going to get kicked out of treatment. And I came into Narcotics Anonymous, and you said, welcome. And you said you didn't care how old I was. You said that you specialized in sick, and that I was going to fit right in. And you said, come sit next to me, we don't care. And I'm really grateful that I learned early on the difference between treatment and Narcotics Anonymous, because if I had listened to those naysayers who told me that it was really important to make my bed, I may have forgotten that it was really important for me to, like, do some steps. And that I don't have an opinion on whether you make your bed. I don't have an opinion on whether you're too young or too old or too tall or too... But none of that matters in Narcotics Anonymous. What is your problem? How can I help? That's what matters. And so I learned that really on that treatment was not going to get me, you know, I got clean, and then there's a question in step one, right? What crisis brought you into recovery? What crisis got you clean, and what crisis brought you into recovery? So I came into Narcotics Anonymous. Again, I was ready this time. I was kind of ready. They told me all these things. You guys said welcome. I tried to go to meetings. I was lying and manipulating. You know, I was doing all the things the newcomers do. You know what I mean? Newcomer, welcome. Me too, sis. Me too. I've been, you know, I have, right? Here's some more math for you. I have 22 years clean. I've been with my husband for 22 years. I don't know what works for you. It's certainly not my job to decide what works for you. But I will tell you, in the good newcomer fashion, I had 45 days clean when I met my husband. He had 4 years clean at the time. And I remember I walked into a meeting. I mean, you know, looking all good. It was date night, clearly. I walked into a meeting. I sat down next to him. I was like, hey, boo. And he looked at me and he goes, what are you doing? And I was like, I'm sitting next to my man for the meeting. And he said, you better get your ass up and move to the other side of the room because this is going to be my life. This is my life-saving space here. You recover all you want, but do it over there. Don't be friends with my friends. Don't talk to my sponsor. Don't even think about coming to my home group. And of course, I was like, you're ashamed of me. You don't want people to know. And he, you know, he explained to me that if we were going to learn, this is my experience. If we were going to survive as a couple, that our recovery was never going to mix. That's my experience, you know. So we've been together, like I said, for 22 years. We've been married for 17. We still don't go to meetings together. We still don't sit together in meetings. I don't really talk to his sponsor. I don't really like his sponsor. I don't really talk to his sponsor. He doesn't talk to my sponsor. You know what I mean? We don't mix. People say it all the time. How do you have that? Like, how do you do that? I married a man, not an addict. That's his choice. That's his life, and that is his program. It is not my job to tell him that he needs to go to more meetings. It's not his job to tell me I need to go to more meetings. It's not my job to ask him if he's done step work. It's not his job to ask me. I have a network. He has a network. But, you know, again, let me get back on track here. I was a really good newcomer. 45 days clean. Doing cartwheels and mini skirts, you know, doing what we do, newcomer, you know what I mean? I'm here for it. So really what I want to say is, newcomer, if somebody told you that you're too crazy, but, you know, I had a sponsor fire me one time because I was too needy. I was knocking on her door to do step work, and she was like, I don't know if this is going to work. It seems like you need a little bit more than I can offer. You seem a little bit more needy than I'm usually equipped to. And at first I was like, oh my God, like, I'm needy. You know what I mean? Ugh. And then I was like, wait a minute. Fucking right, I'm needy. I need to do step work. I need to recover. I need to go to meetings. I need to get better. You know what I mean? I have a life that I want to live. I need this. I need you. So at first I was like, wow, that's fucking messed up. I'm too needy, right? I've been told that a couple times, yeah. And at this time, now I wear it as a badge of honor because I need to recover. My daughter needs a mother. All of that stuff. So anyway, so I came here. I did all the newcomer things. I got here. I stayed for about until 4 months. You know, if you're here and you're, I don't know if anybody, 90 days, my mom used to tell me I would always use at 4 months because I didn't get a key tag and I needed to be recognized. And so every time I used at 90 days. Every time I'd get the 90-day key tag and then I'd go and use. And I could never make it after 4 months. So this time, 4 months, I'd gotten another discharge contract, another, treatment was kicking me out, another blah, 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 blah. And I had remembered one time, one relapse, those things that God will throw into your life and you don't realize you need it at the time, but it always comes when you need it. So I remember being in a meeting one time, and I remember somebody saying something to me, and I flashed back to when I was in a meeting years ago, and somebody said, "Hey, how's your program?" And the guy was like, "Oh, it sucks, I hate it." And he was like, "Well, then why don't you try ours?" And I remember at 4 months clean, bringing that back and saying, why am I miserable? People around me aren't miserable. I would walk into meetings and I would see these women in the corner. I wasn't really looking at women, but I would see these women in the corner and they were all laughing and joking and drinking coffee and they looked so happy and I was not happy. And I remember hearing that, how's your program? It sucks, why don't you try ours? And I remember reading in the basic text, my first home group was a basic text meeting, and I remember that it had said that those that live the Narcotics Anonymous program never relapse. And I was like, maybe, second step, right? Maybe, just maybe, I could do this. Maybe I didn't have to use every time I got to 4 months. Maybe there was a way out. Maybe, just maybe, I could surrender to the program of Narcotics Anonymous and my life would get better. And I made that decision at 4 months clean and I haven't looked back. I got a sponsor. I went through 5 sponsors my first year clean. The first sponsor I got, apparently, it took me a while to get this. I don't know if you're following along, but I was, I'm not the sharpest, newcomer in the room. I wasn't getting it. So I didn't realize you had to be clean to sponsor somebody. So I had been in detox with this girl. She had 9 months. And I had just got, I don't know if you heard me, I'm going to back up. She had 9 months clean. I didn't know anybody that had 9 months clean. I knew nobody. So I was like, she clearly has the most amount of clean time in the worldwide program of narcotics. She had to be my sponsor. And then when she told me that she was using and prostituting, I was like, that's okay. You're amazing. I just need you, So eventually somebody told me that wasn't going to work for me. So I was like, all right, fine, whatever. So I'll get the case manager at my house because she'll give me passes at my boyfriend's house. So she became my sponsor. And then again, we are each other's eyes and ears. Somebody was like, not sure that that's going to work. So I was like, damn. They're like, okay, I think you're missing the point of sponsorship. You have to find a sponsor that has what you want. So I was like, all right, I can do that, right? So I sat in a meeting looking for the woman who has what I want. I don't know if any other newcomers as confused about that as I was, but I'm going to find the woman right when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. You know what I mean? So I was sitting there looking for the woman who had what I wanted. And this girl walked in, and she had on the cutest patchwork, quilted platform high heel shoes. And they were so cute. I was like, oh my God, I want those. That's what they mean. She has what I want. So I ran over to her, and I was like, love your shoes. Will you sponsor me? And she was like, yeah, totally. And then a week later, she needed help getting a job. I was like, sure, you can get a job where I'm working. We were working at a local coffee shop. She started stealing all the money and showing up with more shoes. And I was like, oh, so that's not what you meant by that. You know what I mean? So got her a job, she was stealing. I was like, not the sharpest newcomer. Maybe it wasn't me. Maybe it was the me now who didn't take a minute with the newcomer to explain. right? We say, you know, maybe I say all these things all the time, and I don't take a minute to, like, explain that a little bit more. I take for granted that people understand what I'm talking about. And I didn't come from places where we were talking about women having things that I wanted. Like, I want your man, you know what I mean? Like, that was all I understood. I didn't know what you meant by, like, this spiritual connection. It was weird voodoo crap, if you ask me, you know what I mean? Like, so I guess the lesson in that was to make sure that I take time and explain to the newcomer a little bit more than find the one that has what you want. That is very confusing. So then I got the next sponsor. She was the one with the 2.5 kids, the dog, the house, and said I was too needy. Already told you about her. And then the week before I celebrated my first year clean, I got a sponsor. I always chuckle at this saying, you just got to try on the shoes until you find the ones that fit. Yeah. All right. In case you're listening to the recording, it was really loud. It was just, you know, you didn't hear the laughing. But she sponsored me for the next 10 years. And so, you know, and again, just to continue on that vein really fast, she sponsored me for the next 10 years, and so I had just over 11 years clean when I had to make the decision to let go in that relationship, because what's appropriate for one phase of recovery may not be appropriate for another. And she's wonderful. She's a wonderful woman, and I owe her a lot. She taught me a lot of really good things. She taught me, we went through 6 rounds of steps together. You know, we did a lot of work together. I was really involved in service. Her philosophy in service was traditions, schmeditions. Why don't we just keep it simple? And I'm like, I don't know that I share that philosophy. I think our traditions are, like, kind of important. You know what I mean? Like, perhaps they're not traditions, schmeditions. Like, you know, so it's like, You know, thank you for all the step work. You know what I mean? Thank you for the understanding. Thank you. But, you know, when I was at a place where I was arguing with my sponsor about our understanding, you know, again, whatever, you know, groups are autonomous. Well, there was a subcommittee. A subcommittee is autonomous. No, groups are autonomous. Subcommittees are directly responsible to this. They serve. I'm your sponsor. I know. Yeah. So I had to make the decision to move on in sponsorship. Again, we're friends today. It just... Right? What's that saying? There's a nut for every wrench or something? There's somebody for everybody. And that wasn't the thing that I was looking for anymore. So, but I will tell you that after I moved on in sponsorship, I got another sponsor. Same kind of thing. And then I found the sponsor that I was supposed to have. All those years later. I think I had, 14, 15 years clean, and I found who I like to call my sponsor soulmate. And... you know, that person, you know, if you don't, those that get the most out of the Narcotics Anonymous program are for those that sponsorship is important. Sponsorship is really important to me. I am constantly in contact with a sponsor, but I have struggled finding a sponsor. In case you haven't gotten it, I am a fast-paced, hardworking, I have 22 years clean, I go to 4 meetings a week, I have 13 monthly service positions, I sponsor 10 women, I've gone through the 12 steps 13 times, I've done the tradition 6 and the concepts 4. I fight for my recovery the same way I do today than I did when I got clean. So I'm not stealing from you. So I'm not stopping because of somebody else. I need you. I need you. So when I found the woman who also did all those, I clicked. Sometimes sponsors have had a hard time dealing with me, you know, in my, like, I need to do step work, I need to do this. And she did it. She did it with me. And when I was talking about service, for the first time, I was talking about service with somebody that I felt like understood what I was saying. She knew, right? She knew what I was talking about because she had been there. She had experienced it. She was living in service. She used to have, I'm going to talk a little bit about this. We used to have a group it's been around forever, but we would have a group online. We would use a virtual platform and have a meeting together with all of my sponsee sisters, and we would get together on this call. She sponsored women from all over the world. So we would all be in different time zones, and we would meet together for the sponsorship call. And she hated this sponsorship call. I mean, anybody that's a sponsor, you know, it's a lot of work to get your damn sponsees to show up. You know what I mean? It's like, come on.
Come on.
Just kidding, not mine. But she would do a lot of work to get us all to show up. And we would always, and we would, you know, kick our heels. Why do we have to do, you know, blah, 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 blah. She worked really hard on that. And right before COVID, you know, she had told me that she'd been diagnosed with cancer and that she had told me when she had started sponsoring me that she was sick. And I knew that she had cancer, but I didn't know where we were at with it. We didn't really talk about it. I love her. You know what I mean? It didn't matter. I was going to take what I could get, even if I knew it was for a short time, and if I had to make the choice again, I would make it 10 times over. This woman changed my life. She taught me things about recovery, and she opened up my eyes in a way that nobody else had been able to, and I didn't know about a worldwide fellowship until I met her. She saved me. I don't know if I would still be here if it wasn't for her, because I probably would have, you know, Narcotics Anonymous, you know, Northwest, East Alabama, wherever we are right now, is wonderful. But there's a whole fellowship out there, you know. Give yourself a break and go out there. You know what I mean? I didn't know that there was an out there. I thought it was this little New Bedford town. You know, this was all it was. And when you go to the same meetings with the same people talking about the same, it can get really, so when I found the worldwide piece, so she told me she was sick, and I decided to give it a shot anyway. And losing a sponsor in recovery is one of the hardest things that I've ever had to do. You know, I found my soulmate. She passed away. She passed away about 2.5 years into our relationship. And what I want to share about that is she got really sick. And she was like, oh, I just need to see so-and-so. You know, so-and-so would go visit, and she didn't pass. You know those last days, right, where you don't know what they're waiting for? You know, it's time to go, but they're not going. So maybe it's Sally, maybe it's Molly, maybe it's Sarah. And so everybody kept coming. And she wasn't going, and we couldn't, her husband was trying to figure it out. We couldn't figure out what she was waiting for. And meanwhile, all of my sponsee sisters and I didn't know what to do. You know what I mean? We didn't know what to do, so we decided to hop on a call together. It was July 6th, and we hopped on a call. We hopped on a call together. She loved that call where we all got together. We closed that call at 4:20, and she died at 4:19. So she wasn't waiting for one of us. She was waiting for all of us. She was waiting for all of us to know that we have each other, and so that we're never alone, and we don't have to go through anything alone, because we have a fellowship, and we have people that believe in us and love us and will carry us through our darkest times. And so she waited for us to find each other before she took her last breath. And the moment we ended that call, she passed. So now here, now, you know, I told you I've gone through a million sponsors. So now what, right? Now what am I supposed to do? You know, I would be lying if I told you that the thought I wasn't gonna get another sponsor. I'm not doing this anymore. And this is the part I always screw up. My husband gets really mad at me when I mess this up, so I have to be very careful that I don't mess this up. If your husband dies, you do not have to get another one. I mess that up sometimes, and I say you don't. If your husband dies, you do not have to get another one. If your kid dies, you don't have to get another one. If your grandmother dies, you don't get another one. But I was taught that if your sponsor dies, you have to get another one. And you have to take another risk. And you have to be willing to be vulnerable, right? Our literature talks about it just that one more time. Just that one phone call, just that one meeting, just that one little extra bit. You know, so the end of the story is a good story. About 8-9 months after she passed away, I found another sponsor, and I've been working with her ever since. So it's been about 5 years now that I have found another wonderful sponsor, and I am living and enjoying life, and sponsorship is really important to me, and I talked to my sponsor multiple times. We've gone through, and she's been sponsoring me for just over 4 years. We've gone through a round of steps, a round of traditions, and I just wrapped up my 12th concept, like, last month, 3 weeks ago. So now, you know, in case you don't know this newcomer, I'm back on one. Love when that happens, you know what I mean? So, you know, back on step one again, writing that, because I don't ever want to forget, right? So, you know, that's kind of my experience with sponsorship and, you know, backing up to the original of this. So at 4 months clean, like I told you, I got a sponsor. That's my experience with sponsorship. The other thing I did is I got a home group, right? When I decided to live the Narcotics Anonymous program, I got a home group. I was the key tag person at my home group. I don't know if you guys do key tags, but I love the key tag position because everybody looks at me. So when I was a newcomer and it was my turn, I used to sit in the front of every single meeting I went to. You guys told me, sit up front, it was perfect. I sat right up front, right in the middle. I'd love to tell you it was because I really cared about my recovery, but it was so that when I got up at a perfectly timed bathroom break, you would all look at me when I walked through. There are those people that like sit in the back and they hide. Not me. I get up, I walk around. I was the clinkety-clack newcomer, you know what I mean, that walks all over the meeting. And then some women are like, just come sit. You know, so key tags was meant for me. If you aren't sure about service or being of service, right, this service isn't something we do. It's a posture of the heart. So we don't do service. We are of service. So be of service in whatever way works for you. You like to do whatever we got a thing for that. You like to be, I got a thing for that. You know what I mean? Oh, you like to do what I, oh, there's this really, did I tell you about this really great opportunity to be of service in that way? You know what I mean? Surprise, nobody wants to board a sinking ship. So when we make announcements at NA meetings and we're like, oh, we're struggling, we need support. Nobody wants to board a sinking ship. But if we have this really great opportunity that just came about, you know what I mean? People might actually join. Also, when we say these big, loud, you know, announcements to everybody in the room, I don't know about you, but nobody was talking to me. But if you come up to me and you say, I need you, you're amazing, you have a skill, will you help me? I'll be there to help you. But when we just gloss over, oh, you know, ain't no high like H and I, this is not a dig. But it's like, H and I, don't get mad at me for this one, but you know, H and I is struggling. We don't have any panel leaders and nobody's coming to the facilities. You know, I don't know how effective that is for you, but where I am, that's not really effective. You know what I mean? Grab somebody and bring them. Show them. Show them what happens when we get to be of service. The gifts that come. You know, like I said, I started meeting people when I started to be of service in Narcotics Anonymous. I started to get hugs, right? After a while, I actually learned how to get appropriate hugs. But, you know, it took me a minute. You know what I mean? I didn't get it at first. So I started, like, I'm going to get this wrong, so again, don't yell at me. But it's like we lose the fear of being touched. Something happened where, like, that simple loving hug meant something different to me. Actually, I'll stop right there and tell me a little story about my simple loving hug. So this is one of my favorite stories. I love to tell this story. I was at a meeting one time. Right? And this kid was sitting, you know, third row, and he was sat there. I used to do this too. I don't know if anybody else has, so if you have, welcome. But he had a backpack full of the books. You know what I mean? Like, he had the basic text, the It Works How and Why. He had all the books ready for his class, you know? So, of course, I walked into the meeting, and I sat down next to him, and I just, you know, just being a smart ass, he's reading the basic text. I'm like, oh, it's a good book. And he goes, oh my God, you read it? Yeah. He's like, it's crazy. Did you know that this is the textbook for the program, for the meeting? It's like made for us. I mean, like wrote it for us. And I was like, yeah, it's, you know, written for addicts by addicts. He's like, it's like they know. And I'm like, yeah, it's amazing. And he's like, you know, in shock. And so I just kind of, I'm like watching him enthralled. So I just look and I'm like, hey, just out of curiosity, how long have you been clean? And he just, puffed out his chest, you know, got real, you know, peacock feathers. And he goes, today's 16 days. And I was like, oh my God, yes, that's amazing. Congratulations. And he goes, thank you, thank you. Keep coming. You can get it too. And I was like, I can? You know what I mean? I can stay clean. And he's like, yep, you know. And then he said, how long have you been clean? And I was like, at the time, I was like, actually, like, you know, like 8 years. And he was like, holy, like weekends too? Yeah, all the days, yeah, yeah. But I do have to tell you, as much as, you know, his name was Corey, and as much as I, you know, love that story about my friend Corey, I need to tell you, right, what happened? Finish that story, yeah? So Corey is showing up with his backpack, you know? He's coming to meetings. He's coming to meetings with his books, and then he's coming to meetings with his jewelry, and then he's coming to meetings with his girlfriend, and then he's coming to meetings with his phone, and then he's sitting in the back of the meetings with the girlfriend with the phone and forgot his books. And he forgot his home group that night because he was too busy. And he used. And he ran into me years later and he was like, how long have you been clean now? Like 8 years? 9 years? 16? It's been that long. Yeah, Corey, it's been that long. You gonna come back? Yeah, I'm coming back, yeah. I'm gonna do it this time, I'm gonna do it this time. All right, Corey, come grab a seat. He never made it back. He died. Because of everything that took him out. You know, when for me, when I forget, again, like I started, when I forget why I'm here, that, you know, then I risk my seat. When I forget that the drugs are the problem, that the drugs will kill me, I lose my life. So Corey didn't end up making it back. But I will. But if, you know, if nothing, I will always remember the day when Corey told me about his 16 days clean, because he was so proud of those 16 days. It was life changing, and you know, he was able to get a little bit of this, which was a gift. But you know, so I have 5 minutes before my 45-minute timer is up, which I'm supposed to land my plane with. But I don't think I'm going to go all the way to the 45 minutes. But what I want to close with is just talking a little bit about my relationship with a power greater than myself. Because I talked about sponsorship, I talked about regular meeting attendance. I have, you know, I had a home group at 4 months clean. I did key tags at that home group. You know, I don't even want to tell you the things that, you know, again, right? I'll hide behind the line. Service is not a position in a committee, so I don't have to tell you all the damn committees that I'm a part of and all the service and all that stuff. But I love being of service to Narcotics Anonymous. I love it because there's something that happens when we can see, when we swing that door is wide open. And if you don't know what that feels like, I am sure there is a home group looking for a person just like you to join and be of service. So please give yourself a break and join a home group, right? Our literature, I think it's our first tradition, says that when we find a home group, we don't know we're about to fall in love. You know, my home group members, I've been to weddings and baby showers. I've been a member of my home group for a really long time. I've been a member of that home group for 12 years, and we have watched each other grow, and it's an amazing experience. I may be doing stuff, you know, with world service and all this fancy blah, 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 but there is nothing more important than standing at the door of my home group being the greeter every single week. That is the service position that I am most proud of. That is the one that means the most, because somebody may be walking in not knowing, but a simple loving hug can make all the difference in the world. And being given an opportunity to show somebody what love feels like is a powerful statement. So I came into, 4 months clean, they also said I had to get a higher power. Still not convinced that I wasn't it. I decided to give this thing a shot, right? And I want to say this, right? Because this may not be everybody's experience, but I just want to share this. So there's some parts of our literature that talk about, like, if you're new and your understanding of God is the program of Narcotics Anonymous, it works. I have 22 years clean, and my understanding of God is the program of Narcotics Anonymous. So, like, any power, it does not have to be. And even when people talk about, oh, if you're new, or if you're struggling with a God, just use the group, just use the program. Like, even if you're not struggling, or even, it still works, right? These guidelines fit. Our second and third tradition tell us. If you, I mean, step to tell us, if you're looking for this, then the guidelines fit. If you're looking for then these guidelines fit. It's, you know, total and without any catches. I came into Narcotics Anonymous and I saw God on the wall. Once I realized that they weren't talking about me, I got really scared. And I was like, I don't want to do this God thing. I don't chant. I don't read out. I just don't do those things. It makes me uncomfortable. And you guys, I already told you, you said, it's okay, welcome. You don't have to believe. You'll believe in what works for you. And the right to your understanding of a God is total and without any catches. So for me, I want to tell you a little bit about what my understanding of a higher power is, because I'm not sure that we really talk about this enough. But I pulled this up while I was sitting there, and so I want to talk about this a lot. So NA is a spiritual program. Whatever boards or committees we create, however many meetings we hold, it's the spirit of NA that matters. We feel that spirit fill the room when we gather for a meeting, but it's not the room that matters. We carry NA with us, but it's bigger than we are. When one addict helps another, NA is there. It's not the one addict or the other. It's the helping, the sharing, the spirit of unity, the feeling of hope shared between us. When we read NA literature or listen to an addict share, we experience Narcotics Anonymous. When we write, when we pray, when we answer the phone, even though we're tired or busy, or when we feel like using but we talk to another addict instead, that is NA. It's not just a thing, it's an action. Chapter 10 in the basic text describes love as the flow of life energy from one person to another. We offer it in meetings, at the meeting after the meeting, on the phone, online, at our H9 panels, and in our literature. We share experience, strength, and hope to help one another stay clean one more day. NA lives in our hearts, our minds, our spirits, and our actions. We are Narcotics Anonymous, and what we do, the empathy we care, we show each other, the experience, strength, and hope we bring, that is NA as such. NA is the air we breathe, and it surrounds us when we share our recovery. It flows between us, constantly changing. We can no longer keep recovery by holding it to ourselves, than we can keep oxygen by holding our breath. The love energy that happens when one addict says to another addict, I've been clean for 16 days today, that is NA as such. And that is a power so much greater than me. That is a power that words cannot describe. When all of a sudden we realize that we have a day clean, or 7 days clean, 30 days, a year, that is NA as such. The magic that happens when we achieve the things that we never thought we could achieve. And that doesn't mean the shoes, those cute patchwork, that's not what that means. Learned that the hard way. It means that we find each other and that spirit, that love, when we hug each other, when we cry together. When I shared that vulnerable moment with you and told you that my sponsor died and I looked around the room and I saw faces that could identify with me, the connection that we share, that NA as such, that is my power greater than myself. That is the thing that I tap into. So I am needy. I need you. You are my God. The magic that happens, I don't know about anyone, when you walk into a Narcotics Anonymous room and you know you're going to be okay. That feeling that comes when you find yourself enveloped by the love of the fellowship, that is NA as such. And that is how I stay clean. So thanks for letting me share.